Hello and welcome once again to CanonBlogger.com, home of the Learning Digital Photography podcast. I'm your host, Jason Anderson, and this is just going to be a very brief podcast today. I wanted to bring to your attention some rather topical news about a photographer that is getting sued. So this photographer is getting sued for, I think, close to $300,000. I won't bore you with all the gory details of what's going on with this case, but he shot a wedding. It was a shoot and burn where he gave the client all of the images, and there's a couple things going on wrong here. First off, you never give the client all the images. All right, you only give them the ones that are proofed and have a little bit of cleanup on them. And so that's the first part that's wrong. The second part is that he didn't do a contract. And it's caught a lot of attention, a lot of buzz. He went and talked to Gary Fong about it, who's done a couple of videos. I've linked those above, as well as my own friend's post on the subject, Carrie Garrison. So go read his post and watch the Gary Fong videos if you want to get all the details about this particular case and why it's striking such a chord in the photography community. But for today, I just wanted to bring a short podcast out to let you know about an update to the DIY legal kit. Because one of the things that came out of this is a suggestion Gary Fong made in his podcasts, or his YouTube videos, I should say, about adding a definition or a clause in your contracts to define what constitutes a quote-unquote acceptable... excuse me. Gary Fong talks about what constitutes a quote-unquote acceptable photograph. And it's a great idea, and it's something that I had not included in the DIY legal kit. So I've gone ahead and applied an update to it, consulted with my own attorney. He agrees with me that it's a good thing to include definitions or parameters for what constitutes acceptable photographs. This sets the expectation for the client, as well as protects the photographer's assets in, on the back end. So I wanted to announce that there is an update to the photography legal kit. It's available on the website here for $30. There is a bundle where you can get a savings, including not only the DIY legal kit, but also a prequel that talks about a lot of concepts and topics that relate to how to use these different kinds of forms, what case scenarios to use each form in, and other concerns that you should just be aware of. And unfortunately, it looks like this guy, Tang, was not fully aware. He did a turn and burn and neglected to address two fundamental issues when it comes to shooting for clients, especially when it's a wedding scenario. First and foremost, that you never give the client every single shot you have, because then they could just take all the bad shots. These are the shots that are out of focus, that are blurred because a kid was jumping around, that didn't have your exposure dialed in because you're doing some test shots, or whatever. You don't give your clients, anyone, those shots, because those are just test shots. They're not examples of your work. It's nothing you would ever intentionally print and frame and publish on your own website for marketing purposes. So why would you ever give a client that? So the answer is don't. Don't give a client that. And then the second point here is to make sure you have a contract. And I don't care if you get my contracts or someone else's or create your own, because bottom line, what it really comes down to is defending yourself, protecting yourself, protecting your assets, and just being smart about being in the business of photography. And you can only be smart about it if you have a contract. So if you're interested, go check out my contracts. I've got a legal book, a legal ebook that sells for $30. It includes pretty much every contract you could think of if you're starting a photography business. As always, I encourage you to talk to a photographer, or excuse me, talk to an attorney if you have any questions about contract terminology, semantics, because while this is intended to be as generic as possible, there may be nuances unique to each state that I just can't address. Otherwise, I'd have 50 contracts in there, one for each state, and it's not a good way to go about doing something like this. I tried to keep it generic. It is good for most states, but you may want to check against your state legal parameters before you go and start using it carte blanche for everything. Or if you're already in the photography business and you have contracts, you may not want to replace yours with these, but at least you would want to add an addendum. So if you do want to add the addendum to your own event contracts, there is some specific wording that I would encourage you to use in your own contracts. And I'm going to repeat that wording here just so you can make sure that you have your bases covered, because the last thing we will ever want to see is someone having some kind of an issue like this come up because you just didn't think to protect yourself. So I'm going to scroll down to the portion of the contract that I've created, and there's just one brief paragraph. It's just a short paragraph, and it has three bullet points, and it says, and I quote, "If providing a digital version of images to clients, whether via web, email, or digital media, both client and photographer agree that all images will be defined as usable images, provided that three criteria are met. Number one, the photograph is in focus. Number two, the photograph is properly exposed. And in parentheses, I have highlights, details, and mid-range tones are visible. And then number three, has believable flash tones. So in other words, if someone's skin is blue, that's probably not a usable photograph. But if they're a believable flesh tone, and it's properly exposed, and is in focus, it's a usable image, primarily because you can't control how clients smile. You can't control what people's natural appearances are. You can try and clean up blemishes here and there, but a person's appearance is a person's appearance. So that way, it protects you from having someone come back on you and say, I don't like these images because I wasn't smiling at any of them. Well, I can't force you to smile, is the whole concept here. And with society getting as litigious as it is, it just makes sense to have something like this inside your contracts. I've gone ahead and updated both the DIY Legal Kit and the DIY Legal Kit Prequel / Kit Bundle, both of which are available in the ebook portion of the website. So go over, check them out. It's $30. This guy's getting sued for $300,000. So if you want to save yourself $299,970, pick up the legal kit today. It may seem like it's a lot of money, especially if you're starting out. Trust me, it's not. I've priced this below what most people are marketing legal kits for because I'm not in this to make a lot of money. I'm just interested in helping out fellow photographers with a generic kit that can be used for most generic purposes. So any questions, feel free to contact me on the blog, post comments here if you have any questions, or email me directly. My email address is jason@canonblogger.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time at the Learning Digital Photography podcast.